Second Chronicles, if you would, please. Chapter 5. We are going to, I probably have, I think, about two more messages here on church music. And then we'll flip to another category. And let me just say this about this topic. I am just beginning something here, okay? I'm going to hope that we're going to get a list of resources together for you. But I want you to continue to study this, all right? There's a lot of technical things that you can continue to learn. There are a lot of samples and actually auditory things that you should listen to help solidify the principles, okay? I'm just trying to bring to light the principles. And by the way, I have a lifetime experience in music. That's why I have Mrs. Combs here, because I studied more of the vocal side of things. I can somewhat play the piano, although those who do play the piano wouldn't call what I do playing the piano. I can play instruments, but in those types of things, I want you to understand that. But there is a lot more information that I can give to you. But it would become more of a music class than a preaching time. Okay, so the preaching, that's not the point of it, right? This is preaching time, and so I'm trying to present this as preaching, but also informative as teaching, because I want us to reset our thinking as far as it pertains to music and what the Bible says principally. And so that's the goal of the messages that I've been preaching lately. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 12, and I'm going to read through the end of the chapter, so follow along there. Actually, I'm going to go back to verse 11 here as we read to the end of the chapter. It says, "And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all of them, for all of the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. So that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." Music is a complex tool, okay? It is complex. There are many nuances as far as music is concerned. So we have Andrew right now is going through and studying music, so he understands a lot of these things. In the past, I have studied music. I have a degree in music education, but it's been 20 years since I've looked at some of this stuff, okay? And so please keep in mind, and many of you may be taking piano lessons or flute lessons or violin lessons or honker lessons, clarinet lessons. And I love picking on you, Morgan. It's so much fun. And your father gave me full permission to do it anytime I felt necessary, so... That's right. He's a blowhard. He would do that. Yes. But all of these things are the case. But let's kind of rewind back to principle. Okay? Our God is a musical being. He's the one that created music. He's the one that gave us music. And it has a purpose. The purpose of music is not to uplift your soul. The purpose of music is to praise God. Right? That's the purpose of music. Now, does good and right and correct music uplift your soul? Yes, it does. Okay? And so it's a byproduct. That's not the motive. Okay? And so we got to make sure we have the purpose correct. The formation or the composition of music has to be correct. All right? There are different types of music, just like you probably don't know this unless you watched it already. But I preached out of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and this morning at Trinity. And I talked about how Paul said, continue thou in the things. And so I highlighted what those things were that they were supposed to continue in. And one of those was doctrine. You understand that there's good doctrine. The Bible says, and Solomon said, I give you good doctrine. And then in Ephesians, Paul said that we're tossed about, we can be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. So there's, can be good doctrine, there can be bad doctrine. There can be good music, there can be bad music. And so we've got to understand that, that if there is such a thing as good music, there's such a thing as bad music. So then what makes it good or bad? Well, the formation. You have the different elements of music that we've talked about. The melodics, right? The melody, the notes that you sing, those types of things. There's rhythm. Rhythm is part of music, but it's not supposed to be the driving force. It's supposed to be the root or the foundational part of it. Because if I have a song and I can have a different array of notes that I want to sing, I can sing la 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 la. Okay, and that rhythm is just fine. It's just da 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 da. Right? Or I can sing la 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 la. Okay, I could do that. It's still a melody. I just added a little bit of difference between some of them are longer, some of them are shorter. So rhythm is part of music. Okay, the words are part of music. I mean, these people, as we read here in 2 Chronicles, they were singing, as the Bible says, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That was basically the lyrics of the song, and the glory of the Lord filled the place. Okay? And so we have all of these things. We have how loud and how soft it is, all those different kinds of things. So we've talked about several different elements as far as music goes. But the thing that we've got to remember is that we need to be ordered by the things of principle concerning the Word of God. Because all the times, over 250 times that music is mentioned in some way, shape, or form, whether it's singing or music or instruments or whatnot, that the Bible has an emphasis on the idea of music. But it never says, you know, don't play rock music and don't play this or don't play that. Because those things didn't really exist, if you will, in that form back then. But there are principles, overriding principles, that we need to go by. First of all, music needs to be in order. Okay? In order. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Paul says that in the church, everything is to be done, he uses this phrase, decently and in order. Yes, I know the main interpretation and application there was talking about things like speaking in tongues and the gifts and all the. I understand that. But can I tell you something? If that needs to be in order in the church, doesn't everything else need to be in order in the church? It does. Okay, so that's just a given as far as principle. By the way, our God is a God of order. What's the opposite of order? Chaos. And who's the God of that? The devil. Okay, so our God is not the God of chaos. He's the God of order, and the opposite of that is chaos. So, and by the way, has anyone ever listened to rock music? It's okay, raise your hand. I have. I'll raise my hand at my feet, okay? All right. Now, listen to me. Would you call that order or chaos? Chaos. It is chaotic. Yeah. And it's not ordered. And so you understand that, and by the way, how many of you have listened to like blues or all those different kinds of things? What do they thrive on? Improvisation, right? So that what are they trying to do? They're trying to bypass the structure and the order of things because it sounds cool. Man. But do you see what's going on? So by principle, you say, well, ordered music is boring. Well, good, then I like boring. So we've got to make sure we have that we know music needs to be ordered. Okay? Now, the second thing is that not only does music need to be ordered, music needs to follow a structure. Okay, a structure. So we talked about how conservative compositions, conservative music, follows a simple, predictable structure. We talked about the seven notes, right? Can we have seven notes? And the eighth one? Hey, okay, good. Okay, that's an octave, all right? And so that's not a different note. It is a different note, but it's the same one up higher than the first one. But we said that's how it's structured, right? So there's a structure to it. And so we have different things that are given. Now, in modern types of music, they bend those notes. They take away a little bit and they add a little bit to them, and they change those around. And so play in from C to C, play all the keys as you go up there. Okay, see that? So there's all those little bends and things. And so modern compositions and modern music, they take those and let's see, can you play a diminished chord? Okay, play the regular. Okay, so there's a major chord, right? There's major chord, diminished chord. That sounds cool. Okay, play it augmented. Cool, you know? But it gives an uncertain sound to it. They're doing things that are not in the simple or the predictable sense. They want something unpredictable. So if they're playing along and play a let's see here, let me get my chord progressions out here. Play a four, a five, and a one. Just in C is fine. No. Okay? So that's a progression, right? And those are all major chords. And so we have something like now play a one, a five, a six, and a four. Okay? Now something like that, right? That's a different chord progression. That's very common. And it's used in popular styles, in our modern times. Okay? So, You see that there are different structures, and we have chords there. So first of all, there's a structure that we should go by, and I want you to know that music affects us. Okay, so play that diminished chord again. How does that make you feel? Depressed, uneasy, right? Something like that? Okay? Play it like several times. It's kind of like, you know? Now play like a major chord several times. Okay, that's happier, right? It has a different sense to it. The augmented ones are just kind of make you feel weird. Right? Especially if they don't go anywhere, right? But resolve that one. Play it and then resolve it. Okay? So you can la la. You know, you can use it to go somewhere. That's fine. But if you just kind of end on that, and then we're done, how's that make you feel? Yeah, I need something else there, you know? So if we feel that way, that means it affects us a certain way, right? It has an effect on us. We may not understand it. We may not know exactly what it's doing to us, but it does have an effect. And so please understand, as we talk about some of these things, I'm just going to read some of this to you, but let me talk to you about what these people say here about cords. And this is coming from just all kinds of places here, but can I tell you that the contemporary music scene knows about these things? And most independent Baptist people are completely ignorant concerning these things. And so we've got to learn, and it's important. Play, if you can remember this. I probably should have made you a copy of this. All right, let's see how she does. Do this progression. There are four chords here. Go do a C major, G major, A minor, and then an F major. Now, that sounds pretty, right? Can I tell you what? How many of you can have you recognized that? Play it again. Now, I want you to respond here. What does that sound like to you? Does that sound like something that you'd find in this hymn book here? Or does that sound like something you'd find somewhere else? Huh? Sounds like hymns to you? It's okay. Anybody else? Play it again. Elvis. Okay. That is a very popular contemporary Christian music chord progression. And they use it in a lot of the praise and worship songs, that progression. Okay? It's very popular. And you hardly will ever find it in our hymn books. All right, how about this one? Are you writing down? Okay. All right, D minor, B flat major, C major, A minor. Okay, again. Okay, now does that sound like something you might hear out of our hymn books? Not too often. Not unless it's a modern, more modern type hymn. Now that's used in reflective praise and worship songs. When they want you to get you to think on your life. Play it again. Does that sound uplifting or kind of down, right? Okay. How about this one? E minor, C major, G major, D major. Again. What do you think about that? Okay, that's another chord progression that's commonly used in contemporary worship songs. Okay, so let me just read to you what they say about this. They talk about how the different musicians and people helping in worship music, what they're trying to do is they're trying to help people focus on music. Okay, they're trying to get to the heart of what they call spiritual songs. Now let me ask you a question. What is the focus of music supposed to be? The worship of God. Not the worship of man. Not reflecting on man, not looking inward, but looking upward. Okay? So, now let me just read some things to you here. Thank you, Mrs. Combs. I may or may not need you in the future. Well, I mean, in the future, I need you all the time. But that was terrible. Can we erase that from there? I meant in the immediate future. Like, never mind. She's leaving. Oh, good grief. Huh? No, you can go down. It's okay. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with you. Yeah. Get out of here. All right. I'm in a bunch of trouble. What got into me today? I don't know. Maybe I didn't have enough coffee. I'm not sure. Okay. Now, chord progressions have a function. Okay, so that means how we progress through the different chords of a key of music, they have a function. Okay? They're either going to establish the tonality or they're going to contradict the tonality. Let me just ask you a question. Did some of those sound a little contradictory? Okay? Now, there are progressions that don't sound contradictory. They actually establish the tonality of the key or the piece of the song, and that's what we're looking for. Something that's predictable, something that's uplifting, something that is clear and simple. Not confusing, not contradictory, not chaos. Because, by the way, music is for God. Now, do you remember back to when we talked about the Israelites as they pass through the Red Sea? They get to the other side. God performs a great victory. And by the way, this, I hope you understand, this wasn't a song that was written before. Because the horse and rider just went down in the sea. So Moses sang this song and what? The people sang with him. And if it was something that was too complex, could they have followed along so quickly? No. Doesn't have to be difficult. If you think about songs in our hymn book, and we can just name some of them, but I'll get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll get to that in a moment. But can I tell you something? That chord progressions, they have, and in their simplicity, they have a function. And if you make them too complex, and by the way, you can put any combinations of these things together and get these different sounds. But we've got to do it in such a way that makes it clear as to what we're trying to accomplish with this music. Okay? Now, I'm just going to read some of this to you, okay? Chord progressions, such as the extremely common chord progression of 1-5-6-4, are usually expressed in Roman numerals and classic musical theory. So you have that's where, for instance, the one chord. Let me get over here. Is the what they call the tonic? Okay, so that's going to be your starting note. So if it's the key of C, it's going to be a C. All right, and it's a major chord, so it's going to be a C, an E, and a G. All right. Remember, we talked about the lines and spaces and the notes on the staff and all those things. That's going to be your. Hold on, I got too many papers here. Come back. Look, I have music keys. Yeah. Ooh. All right. Now, our first degree or the tonic. This is the one we have that chord, and then the five is the fifth, and that's called the dominant. Okay, that makes sense, right? Something dominant. And then you have your four chord, which is used a lot. That's called the subdominant. And those progressions are going to be used in conjunction to set a structure of the music. Okay? Now listen to this. In rock and blues, Musicians refer to chord progressions, and they think of it in a 12-bar blues, they call it. And it consists of 1, 4s, and 5 chords. And so they play it in a certain progression. So they would do a 1-1-1-1, 4-5, 4-4, 1-1, 5-4, 1-1, etc. And so they put a structure together, and so they may play a progression to do this. Okay, all right. I'm gonna give this to you, and you can maybe you can play this. All right. So this is something that they do. There's your progression, your 12 bar progression there. So listen to this, what she plays here. Okay. So that's a progression that is commonly used in blues music, etc. I need that paper back. Okay. All right, good. There you go. Now, and so what they do is they put these different progressions together, and they come up with a structure. By the way, it's an incorrect structure. Okay, it produces a certain sound that defines it as blues or jazz or etc. Now, I want you to know something, and this is where we're going to get to the principle. Okay. So the complexity of chord progressions vary from genre to genre of music over different historical periods. Now, that's very key to understand that, okay? So as you look at the development of music from rudimentary times to modern times, you see a transformation, okay? Now, for instance, some pop and rock songs from the 80s to 2010 have fairly simple chord progressions. Funk emphasizes the groove and rhythm as a key element. So the entirety of funk songs may be based on one chord. Jazz songs are based on 2, 3, or 4 chord, what they call vamps. Some punk and hardcore songs only use a few chords, all right? And so remember we talked about that there's a repetitive nature to some of the things that the devil tries to do to turn your brain off, okay? On the other hand, bebop jazz songs have 32-bar song forms with 1 or 2 chord changes every bar. And so there's all of these different progressions and things that they do. But I want you to focus back on that statement that the complexity of chord progressions have grown or developed over many years. This brings us to our principle. What does God say about His nature as a being? He is unchanging. That's exactly the right answer. Can I tell you something? We are commended in Scripture not to change. We're supposed to grow, right? But we're supposed to hang on to that. And that's why when I preached this morning, Paul was telling Timothy, look, you've learned some things from a child. And you've known who you've learned them from. Why are you trying to change it? Don't try to change. He says, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. And let me just tell you something, folks. We don't need new music. And I don't mind saying that. We don't need to be looking for something new. How many of you are looking for a new Bible? So if you're not looking for a new Bible, why are you looking for new kinds of music? And here's another thing that I've told people, and I believe that this reasoning makes sense to it makes sense to me. That's why I think it. But let me just throw it out to you. How many of you have never been exposed to the modern development of music in this world? We all have, haven't we? So some of the people that wrote these hymns and these songs that we call the hymns of the faith, these also, how many of them were exposed to all this modern music? None of them. So guess what? They were composing music out of a clear conscience. If I were to compose a song today, would I be composing it out of a clear conscience? I'd be composing it based on what? What I've heard. And can I tell you, I've heard a lot of wrong kind of music in my lifetime. And you know what? Let me just give you, I've said this before, so I don't mind saying it because I know it's the truth. I like some of those chord progressions and some of those sounds. My flesh likes them a lot. And that's why I can't listen to them. So for instance, that first one that she played, I've heard that one before. And you know what? I like it. And that's what tells me that I shouldn't listen to it. It's the truth. So we've got to be careful what we listen to. Let's see, I got all my papers mixed up here. Now, okay, we got some blues changes, progressions. Let's talk about 1950s. All right. Another way of extending the 1-4-5 progression is by adding that sixth scale degree in the sequence. So we got. Have you played the 1-6-4-5-1? The 1-6-4-5-1. Okay? Does that sound 50s or not? It does. Okay, that's totally doo-wop music right there. Okay? For instance, Blue Moon? Huh? Okay? Play. Every one of you kids can get up here and play. Play Heart and Soul. Come on, keep going. Does that not sound fit? Keep going. Get it going, girl. How many of you, come on, kids. Anybody that's ever taken piano lessons, you've done this. Right? Now, those of you, Brother Hollingshead, Mrs. Hollingshead, are you thinking about a milkshake and a hamburger right now at the drive-in theater? Maybe doing a little smooching there in the convertible? After they were married. You know? But does this sound 50s to you guys? I know I'm only picking on them because they were alive back then. No, I wasn't. Thank you, dear. Oh, how nice. Nice resolution there. I'm just telling you, right? It has a sound. So as we think about these things in... Here's a fun one. Ooh, do this one here. Do you know this one? Look, it even has notes. Here, play that one. You play that one? Okay? Now that sounds pretty docile, doesn't it? Okay? That was using a lot of classical music as they were composing that in back in the 1500s, 1600s, things like that, okay? So those were, and by the way, that sounded kind of natural, didn't it? Sounded kind of docile, normal, simple, conservative. Okay? So I want you to understand that there are a lot more things that I could teach. For instance, I could teach about sophisticated chromaticism. How do you like that? You like that one, Andrew? You like that. Okay. There you go. See, he knows what that is even. All right. Now, listen to this. Where's my next page? I got the motor. Okay, here we go. For instance, sophisticated chromaticism, as well as the possibility of modulation, these harmonic conventions were taken up by American popular chord progressions of jazz harmony, and it's called the 2-5-1 turnaround. Doesn't that sound like fun? You want to hear that? Okay, here we go. There's this bottom one here. This is a ragtime progression. Let's see if Mrs. Combs can play ragtime. Okay? Now, if she were to do a little bump, 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 to it, you'd definitely feel like you're listening to ragtime with those chord progressions. Okay, so rhythm is introduced into this also. Okay, I listened to a thing the other day. It was a great clip. This gentleman was playing the same melody to about 6 different styles. Okay, ragtime, blues, jazz, rock. But he's playing the same melody, and he just played it with the different ragtime progressions, ragtime, jazz, blues, all the different types of progressions. It was interesting. So, by the way, it wasn't that I was purposely trying to listen to wrong music, but I want you to understand that it gives you an idea that that's how things work. So there's a structure that we need to make sure we are keeping track of, and it does matter. So we've got to, and this is where it goes back to the principle. We've got to trust the things that we know to be true. And we've got to bridle or harness the desires to go after something new, something cool, something unique. And I'll go back to what a friend of mine said one time about the simple hymns and gospel songs, if you will, that are the right makeup, because there's some gospel stuff you shouldn't be listening to, okay? Because they're made up with these modern progressions. And I just want to tell you, they have continued to progress. Because the world's always looking for something new to fill the void. And again, that's another principle. So we've got to be careful how these things go. There's more fun things in here. Okay, I've got to stop. All right, now, as we move along, I want you to realize that God wants us to focus on music as He intended it to be. So as we think about, I don't know which one I want to use here. Where are we at? Wrong paper. Sorry. Just do a 1-5-4-1. Okay, that's very simple. All right, just play Amazing Grace, number 3 there in the hymn book. You hear the chords? Now, would you call that joyful and uplifting, or would you call that reflective? Reflective, right? Okay, let's play number 91. Do you hear the different chord structures there? New chord right there, right? chord. That's a tonic there, right? Keep going, keep playing. Okay. Oh, that was a five, right? Is that a four? Five? That okay? That was a six. Okay. Now is that more uplifting? Okay. But you see the simple chord progression there. Okay. Not complex. Not ambiguous. Not confusing. But what? Clear. Okay? Clear, straightforward, and uplifting. Be wary of things that please your flesh. Be wary. You should be welcoming to things that uplift the spirit. Okay? So, we need to make sure we're careful what we listen to, that we focus in on the idea of things. Now, like I said, there are probably hours and hours and hours and hours of listening, of looking at music and how things work. I have here just a little thing of a circle of fifths. And, you know, you can watch how a chord progression moves around on the keys there. There are so many things. Like I said, I have pages here. I have simple progressions, three chord progressions, 50s progressions, circle progressions. I have blues changes. I have minor and modal progressions there. I also have during the 60s, they started to experiment more with modal chord progressions as an alternative way of harmonizing blues melodies. I mean, it just keeps growing and growing. Okay? And that's not what God intended it for it to be. So, as we look at, and by the way, I have another follow-up message for this for next week, but I want you to get an idea. And here's how I kind of want you to set your meter as far as music goes. Because we need to start testing our music. Okay? If it's something that pleases our flesh, it's probably not the right kind of music. Right? And let me just add this to you. If it's a sound that the world enjoys, it's probably not the sound that we should enjoy. That's just a good baseline. So we've got to think about our music. And then I'll end on this. And now you really are done this time, so thank you. Well, you might as well just stay there. You're going to play the invitation song. Okay. Make sure it has a good chord progression to it. Okay. Reflective. All right. Think about this. As it pertains to music, what is wrong with the old music? The older the hymns, I think the better. Because they're going to have a different structure to them. And let me just ask this. Why have we gotten away from them? More than likely because people are searching for something new. And then, so that begs to ask the question then, if you're searching for something new, are you really looking for something new so that God will be impressed with your worship? You're thinking, oh, I've got to find a new song because God is tired of hearing the one I've been singing to him for the last 20 years. Or, you know, this hymn was birthed in the first century church and millions of people have been singing this same worship song to God for all these years and I'm sure he's tired of it. So I've got to come up with a new song with a new sound that God can enjoy. Is that really our motive? Because most of the modern music today, you know what the motive is? What do they want to hear? What pleases them? Or what can I do so that they go, wow, and they look at me? That's not what music's for. It's for the worship of God, and we should do it His way.